Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, that's how it's going to work sometimes. That's NBC Sports Bay Area, and that guy goes by the name of Dwayne Kuiper.
I celebrated a big birthday today.
Oh,
Kuiper. I think 75.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I love not just a great call, Wilmer Flores, pinch hit, two-run double, but the end is the best part.
And he made
one
it.
Run scores, two-run scores, the Giants lead, and Wilmer made it! He made it to second! No way! That's really a deep drive down the left field line. But anyway, classic Giants home field victory, 2-1. Logan Webb, 7 innings. Randy Rodriguez handles the 8th. Camilo Duvall handles the 9th. And the Giants snap the slide as the home stand continues. And good to see them get a little bit of good feel in their veins before the Boston Red Sox get here tomorrow night.
How good is Logan Webb?
He is good at pitching. Yeah, he is good at pitching. And if anybody was looking at Robbie Ray's start and was confused on who the Giants' ace is, nothing against Robbie, but Logan, my gosh, what a dude. And in a day and age in baseball where everybody is hucking that thing 98 miles an hour, the guy is such a throwback in so many ways and such a special pitcher. He's got his ERA below 2.5 after that performance today.
7 innings, 1 run, 7 hits. He scattered those hits. He struck out 9.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at what he's done of late. I mean, of course, it's the Dodgers. He get to give up a couple of runs, but that might be the best outing of his season, considering it is the Dodgers and that lineup. 7 innings versus the Dodgers in LA last week, over the weekend. Only allowed 2 runs in that game. Struck out 4. Game before versus Atlanta, 6 innings, 2 runs, 10 strikeouts. The dude suddenly is a strikeout machine.
Yep, one of the top guys in the league.
And you talk about like pressure on a start. When he's used to it, like this has kind of been his life as a Giant. You don't get a ton of run support. You have that today. The team doesn't score for you until the 7th. That's the only reason you got a win was because you pitched 7 innings. Otherwise, you wouldn't have qualified. But also, you're staring a 4-game losing streak down the barrel. You've lost 5 of 6. You hand the ball to Logan and you say, all right, Ace, be the stopper.
Right.
And 1 run in 7 innings. And even that was barely enough.
Oh, he hung in there because it really did have a look for a while like the Giants were going to get shut out. And so the whole Rafi Devers experience, he goes 1-for-3 today with a walk. Largely it's been a good thing, celebrating his arrival. Everybody across the board seems to love the deal. He hits the ball fine, nothing overly huge, but right, he's got 3 hits, one of them an extra base hit in his first 3 games. That all looks fine, but the output for the Giants lineup essentially looks the same. They get 2 runs in all 3 games, and so I get that there's a little frustration there, and I do have some mixed feelings. I think Bob Melvin's probably going to be on the show next week, and we got to get into a few things with him. It's like, you know, this is great that Flores is the hero of the day.
Yeah.
But there's also like this little reminder, in the 2 of the 3 games in this series, he did not start. He was a pinch hitter, extraordinaire off the bench, and in both at-bats, something very memorable happened, and both of them were very good at-bats. 2 nights ago, it's a line shot that carries all the way out to the left fielder. It was the play where Casey Schmidt gets caught off second base and doubled up. But it's a good at-bat from Wilmer.
Hit hard, yeah.
And then same thing here. Sharp ground ball down the line, ends up winning the baseball game. But a piece of me is like, so wait, that's the bat that we're taking out of the lineup? I'll put it this way. Hey, Rafi, keep grabbing ground balls and hurry up, dude. We need you at first base because I want Wilmer Flores back in the lineup every night.
Yeah, I mean, considering the way the Giants are hitting right now, you need every bat that isn't an automatic out. Like, the Giants have a number of automatic outs right now. And unfortunately, the Willy Adames stretch in Colorado and in L.A. seems to be forgotten. He right now is kind of an automatic out. He had maybe the, not, I don't know if the worst at-bat is fair, the worst result of an at-bat today. First and second, 1 out. Was this the 5th or 6th inning? With Devers on deck, 1 out, Devers on deck, Adames at the plate, double play, inning over. And then Devers leads off the next inning. Nobody, of course, leading off the inning, nobody on base. You want Devers at the plate with a couple of runners on base, and maybe Adames drives in a run himself. But right now, Adames is an automatic out. Casey Schmidt had a couple of hits today, and he's actually swinging the bat pretty decently going back to the series, I guess also in Colorado. Jung-Hoo Lee, I mean, he's not hitting the ball well right now. Patrick Bailey had a couple of hits last night, but that was like a bloop and an infield single. He's not really swinging the bat much right now.
I give him credit, though. He got the bunt down
that
set things up for Wilmer Flores to come in and pinch hit and win the game.
He did, and then whoever you have playing second is an automatic out. Today it was Christian Koss. Of course, a lot. It's been Tyler Fitzgerald, and you're at a point where you're in a situation where you do have 2 on and nobody out, and you say, all right, with Bailey and Koss due up, we're almost forced to bunt and pinch hit. Like, that's just what that is in the order. And I know there are other teams that run into those similar situations, but far too often, Willard, as a Giants fan, I'm sitting there watching the game, whether it's at the park or it's at my couch at home or today on my laptop while we're here at Chase Center getting ready for the Valkyries game, and it's, oh, leadoff double. They're going to score here, right? And then you look at what part of the order is up, and you're like, oh, they're probably not going to score here.
I do think it'll feel different when Chapman comes back.
No doubt.
But at the same time, I want to just keep I want to keep this thought out there for people. Look, I think that this is now a very respectable lineup. It is not a lineup that is going to challenge for the league lead in runs scored. This is still Oracle Park. This is still going to be about pitching and defense, and I'm comfortable with that because that's what wins in the postseason. And, you know, I think that there will be moments, assuming that the Giants get there, where it changes the dynamic of the lineup just because Devers is there, just because he's waiting there. I do think Adames will get more pitches.
Yeah.
I do think there's a different way to have to navigate that lineup for the opponent, and over a longer period of time, that'll really work itself out. But just a reminder that in 2010 and 12 and 14, the Giants won it all, and they did not have to score a lot of runs in order to do that. I guess that's a long way of saying none of the Rafi Devers shine for me is off because of the fact that they had a hard time scoring runs in this series.
Honestly, the way that I view this is, all right, take your frustration level for the first two games of this series, and I guess also you can include today. You scored two runs in all three games. The only reason why you won today is because your ace pitched like an ace. Not that Verlander, I think it was overblown about Verlander last night. He wasn't great, but I didn't think he was terrible by any stretch. You take away one mistake on an 0-2 count. Instead of giving up four runs, he gives up one run. Like, all right, like you gave up the three-run homer. Terrible moment. I don't think he was terrible by any stretch. The reason he won today was not because of your bats. It was because of Logan Webb. But I do think, largely, like, this is a Giants team that, despite getting Devers, is still a team that's going to have to grind out baseball games. You hope Devers makes it a little bit easier, and you're not going to have to scratch and claw for every run, because there'll be a day where Devers, with two on, hits one into the water, and instead of scoring two runs in a game, you score five, and you win relatively comfortably 5-2 or 5-3. Instead of having to really scratch and claw and try to create a run with a walk and a stolen base and a sack bunt and then a sack fly, like, he just gives you a way to, every once in a while, he's not going to hit a home run every game, or probably not even every series, but he is going to get you a big hit that's going to win you games. He will make you have to manufacture runs just a little less often. You're still going to have to manufacture those runs, and you're still going to have to sneak out ways to win baseball games. He's just going to make it a little bit easier over the course of a long season.
Well, and also enjoy the fact that starting tomorrow, I do think that Oracle Park becomes the center of the baseball world for the weekend, with the Red Sox coming into town. Actually, a little bit later on in the hour, we have some odds that have been provided to us with regard to the upcoming series against the Red Sox.
That series specifically?
Series specific, player specific.
Odds to hit a homer for Rafi Devers?
Odds for a homer. Odds for over-under how many hits. Odds that the Red Sox will plunk Devers.
On purpose? Just gets his at all?
Just plunk. Yeah. Odds that there will be a fight. All of these things. Well, I'm not kidding. We got all of this stuff. So we also are expecting Brandon Pajemski to call in any minute. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, in the home of the Golden State Warriors and the Valkyries, taking on Caitlin Clark tonight. And we're here at Chase Center on the concourse, getting ready. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Another reminder that if you want to win a pair of tickets to see My Chemical Romance on July 19th at Oracle Park, you have reached your spot. We're giving you that chance this hour, and then we'll do it one more time tomorrow here on Willard and Dibbs. Plus, one of the winners from the week is going to randomly be selected and will be upgraded to two suite tickets. This is all courtesy of Live Nation. So keep on listening. At some point this hour, we will tell you, bang, contest is on. We'll give you the contest line. You call in, and the fifth caller will win that pair of tickets, not right now, to My Chemical Romance, plus the chance to be upgraded to suite tickets. Keep on listening. For more info and to buy My Chemical Romance suite tickets, log on to sfgiants.com/concerts. All right. So, Giants win. Pods will be here shortly. Valkyrie superfan Caitlin Clark and the Valks tip off in 3 hours.
I'm excited. You know what's crazy? And we were talking about it a little bit off air during our last commercial break. There's an NBA Finals game tonight. Game 6 of the NBA Finals.
Like, can I be honest with you? I forced myself to forget. Although there is breaking news coming out of it. Go
Tyrese
ahead.
Tyrese is playing tonight,
Tyrese,
right?
Halliburton's going to give it a go.
Game 6. This could be the final day of the NBA season. Yep. I know that game and the Valkyries game tonight, there's only going to be a little bit of an overlap, but here, being at Chase, and I'm staying for the game, I'm not going to leave here all night. I don't feel like sad or upset that I'm going to be missing the NBA Finals Game 6. Like, I feel like I'm in the right spot today.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. However, that said, I mean, to what level does the vibe around that NBA final change if the Pacers are able at home to grind out a win tonight. Because then what immediately
game seven.
Yeah, what gets created there is game seven of the NBA Finals, and that's pretty pretty freaking special. I know right now in this moment, the whole underdog vibe has had water thrown all over it. Your 2-1 lead turned into a 3-2 deficit. Halliburton is hurt. I don't know how the Pacers are going to do this, but you know what? That's exactly what the Pacers have been doing this entire playoff run, which is as soon as you're thinking, well, that's not going to happen, the Pacers are there to go, yes, it is. You know what I mean? Hold our beer. Here we go. So, look, it's a desperation home game tonight. I would not be surprised if the Pacers won tonight.
Well, it's crazy because, like, the individual games, a lot of them have been awesome. Game one was amazing. Game three was a ton of fun. Game four was a lot of fun. Game two and five, not so much. There were moments in game five where you feel like the Pacers had a shot, but ultimately couldn't really get it done. The games individually have been awesome.
But series as a whole,
I mean, the Pacers
cut that thing to two the other night.
I'm finding myself a little challenged to get into it as much as I normally am. I can't exactly put my finger on why, even though the games have been fun.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I don't know. Why do you think that is? Like, look, it's the Indiana Pacers. That's part of it. It's not like they don't have that wow factor. And somehow, some way, I don't care that he won the MVP. I don't think the Thunder do either. They're just a really good basketball team.
They're great.
They come at you from so many places, but there's no player on that team where I'm like, dude, somebody make popcorn. Look at this guy cook. Shea's not that kind of player to me.
I've always, and despite the fact, I mean, I've been wrong about the Pacers like every round of this postseason other than the first round. So me saying I like the way that they play maybe seems a little disingenuous because I didn't expect them to get this far. The dichotomy in how these teams play stands out to me. Like, the Pacers are kind of more in like the Steve Kerr mold, like move the ball, play good defense, read and react, and work for a great shot. And you don't have like any one individual guy who's going to go ISO and take over a game that way. Meanwhile, OKC, I just can't get behind their style of play. It's just, I mean, I know you're not a fan of SGA, and I'm right there with you. I hate the reliance on the free throw line. I feel like you're baiting refs into it, and you put the refs in a tough spot, and they're forced to make calls, and the game slows down. I don't know. So I've been rooting for the Pacers, and despite the fact that they led 1-0, that they led 2-1, even then I never really felt like they were going to win this series. And of course, now it's easier to say it now when they're down 3-2. But just never quite felt like the Pacers were going to be able to pull this one off. But we'll find out today.
Yeah, absolutely. He's with us. All right, let's do it. Let's go out to the River Islands guest line and hang out with, and I hope he's okay with it. Today, Pods, we have not been calling you Warriors guard, Brandon Pajemski. We've been calling you Valkyries superfan, Brandon Pajemski. You all right with that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
That's kind of like, I mean, that's what it looks like. Can you, for a lot of people who haven't done this yet, tonight is the only the sixth time that they've played a home game. How would you describe the experience?
I mean, personally, I think it's really fun. I think the atmosphere is similar to our games. Every game that I've been to has been sold out, and I think all of them have been sold out. And so just to see that support, you know, for women's sports, it's really fun. And to be a part of it, it's pretty special, especially in their first year. I think the last inaugural team was the Chicago Sky, and they only won 4 games their whole year. And I think we've already surpassed that, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Valkyries 5-6, 11 games in, trying to get back to .500 today with the Fever in town. Has this surprised you at all, the success? I know, you know, if Joe Lacob heard me say 5-6 is a success, he might not agree. But as you said right there, this is not easy for teams in their inaugural seasons. Has it surprised you the way that they've come out of the gates here?
As a basketball junkie, no. Just because you see all the ladies that we have were all players that either didn't really play a lot or played very minimal on their other teams. That's why they were, you know, available. I think maybe Kayla Thornton was the one who played the most. But it's just like the NBA. When you get your opportunity to have an advanced role, you see a lot of those players step up and shine. And I think that's what we kind of have with a lot of the ladies there. They're getting their opportunity, and they're shining and catching everybody by surprise.
Brendan Pajemski joining us here on Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Dibs. We're at Chase Center getting ready for the game tonight. Valks hosting Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. Pods, where did this come from, this fandom? Like, what made you attach yourself to this team?
Yeah, just love sports, love women's sports especially. And obviously they're playing the same game that I love as well. So there's things you can learn. There's things you can see. But I think more importantly, it's just trying to support, you know, Bay Area sports in general, but especially the Valkyries, playing basketball, which is the game I play and love to play. So I think it just, you know, made sense.
Pods, you said it. You've been at, I think, if not all, almost every single home game, and you're sitting courtside. Mm-hmm. You get an up-close, in-person view of this team. You mentioned Kayla Thornton, previous stops in the WNBA. She's the Valkyries' leading scorer. But I'm wondering, as someone who has seen them close often, can you give us a bit of a scouting report? I mean, Kayla Thornton is the Western Conference Player of the Week, but they've got mm-hmm. some other scorers, and it's a really balanced offensive mm-hmm. attack. What can you tell us about the way the Valkyries play?
I think they got a lot of good pieces. Veronica Burden, really solid piece. She's been around the league a little bit. It was actually funny. Our their GM, Ohema, me and her talked, I think, in February, and she was like, if you could pick, you know, one person in this expansion draft from a different team that you think will be available, who would it be? And I told her Veronica, just because I see a lot of similarities between me and her and how we play and the energy we bring. And I think that's just contagious and it translates to winning. And so her, I think Tiffany Hayes has been a great addition. Kate Martin, obviously, from Vegas, coming over with Natalie. But everyone that we brought in knows how to play the game. We've brought in a lot of European ladies as well that are super smart and skilled. And so to see it mesh and just seeing Natalie let him play free and then being so locked in defensively has been pretty cool.
Brandon Pajemski with us. Pods, we know you've got really good seats. Are you heckling Caitlin mm-hmm. Clark tonight?
Oh, yeah. For
okay.
sure.
Okay.
Well, I'm always doing that. Whoever.
Yeah, what are you saying to her?
I don't know. I got to find some. It's really in the moment, whatever comes out. But, you know, I'm always be with the Valkyries and heckle the other team as much as I can.
Pods, I know you're a huge basketball fan, so I'm sure you have watched Caitlin Clark play a lot of basketball. Have you ever seen her in person before?
I've never seen her in person. It's going to be the first time.
You excited?
Definitely
excited. What do you think that's going to be like?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be cool. I think she's going to be excited just because she knows this is where Steph plays and how similar they play. This is her first time, I think, playing at Chase Center, so I know she'll have a little bit of nerves and excitement to play, especially against a new team. But I expect the Valkyries win.
Hey, Brandon, how are you doing? You had a couple surgeries recently, yeah?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Just rehabbing out here, taking my time with it, and just trying to get back to 100% so I can get rolling.
And you mentioned, obviously, your sports fandom. To what level are you following the NBA Finals, which potentially could end tonight?
Yeah, definitely following it. Jalen obviously played at Santa Clara, and seeing the way he's playing is pretty cool. But I've been following the whole playoffs since we've been done, just seeing how it's kind of goes on and how the finals look. But yeah, I've been following it quite a bit.
I mean, is there anything about these playoffs, you know, maybe namely even just what the Pacers have done here, the fact that they're still in this, is there anything about the view of the playoffs as a whole that's surprised you?
Not surprising, but it's just showing us that there's different ways to win in the league. You know, there's been times where teams feel like you have to have a super team, you have to have a big three, you have to have this and this. And I think, you know, OKC and Indiana kind of defy those odds, and they have a bunch of guys that can get their own shot, can get their own bucket. And even last game, you know, even though Indiana lost, they showed a bunch of guys, you know, have 10 plus, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, they have 7 or 8 guys that are averaging 10 or more this series. And so they're showing us that you can do it by committee. You don't necessarily need to have, you know, a top 5 player in the NBA to do it. So it's just been cool to see different ways to win and figure things out.
to what level do you think what you're describing is sustainable? Like with the parity in the league, do you think that that's kind of a thing right now where teams might rather lean into depth rather than going top heavy with their rosters?
I mean, I don't know how that would look. Obviously, as time goes on, there's more money to be dispersed. And so how that looks given the team is going to be obviously different come the future. But I think anything in this league is sustainable. It's all about making it work. We've seen a lot through time, what works and what doesn't. But every year something new comes out and someone does on defense comes out and everything just keeps evolving, and that's the beauty of the NBA.
Pods, you talked about the different style the Pacers and the Thunder play. They're led by their point guards, SGA for the mm-hmm. Thunder and Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers. As someone who has defended both those guys at certain points throughout your career, how are each of those guys challenging for a defender in, I would imagine, different ways?
Well, I think Shea is obviously really physical. He gets the benefit of the doubt when it comes to the whistle a lot of times. But it's just his constant assertiveness of getting to where he wants to get to. And he's just like, his foot is always on the gas. And so like, you have to be ready for that over and over again, where some people it's just like every once in a while they're going to go and it makes it a little bit easier, but he's just kind of like a constant, I'm not going to just bail you out by shooting threes. I'm going to try to get as far as I can until you stop me. And then obviously he bumps people and then you try to bump back and then he uses that against, you know, your own momentum, and that's how he gets fouls. But so he's that. And then Tyrese, I think, you know, he's really good in space. And I think the way they play as a five-man group out there, there's so much space created because they always have five guys that can shoot. He's really good. And I think the reason why he struggled quite a bit this series is because, you know, Dort's being obviously really physical with him. And they're really playing heavy in the gaps and, you know, touching them, making them feel them. And he's not as comfortable in that. And so I think that's why, you know, the Thunder have won the last two games especially.
Brandon, I want to go back to your comment about Caitlin Clark and how she patterns her game after Steph. We know Steph is such a supporter of the women's mm-hmm. game as well. Have you ever had a conversation with Steph about Caitlin?
No, we haven't had a conversation about Caitlin, but, you know, definitely, you know, throughout our season, we definitely talk about, you know, women's figures in sports that are, you know, really stepping up and showing out. That's been pretty cool to see. We definitely have those conversations, you know, as a team and just seeing how cool that stuff is and how they're elevating the game of basketball in a whole.
How would you, like, I wonder if you watch her game and you sort of see it that way, like, I don't know, how would you defend it? What would be your scouting report if you were talking to the Valks tonight to guard Caitlin?
I mean, just high pickup points. Obviously, you want to be physical with her. I think the little scuffle she got into last game with, I think it was Connecticut maybe. I think they did a good job of just getting under her skin and not just letting her move free. I would say force her right. You know, all her threes come off either the catch or going left. Let's step back off the dribble, going left off the ball screen. She doesn't like shooting off her right hand, so... I would just say, yeah, and I would say make her play inside the three-point line and let, you know, see how many, you know, shots she can make inside the three-point line and see if that's enough to beat you. The games that they win, she has high assists and high three-point numbers. And so you just kind of take that away. You know, it's easier said than done because teams try to do it to Steph too, and, you know, he still finds a way to do that, the same thing.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Pods. We asked you about the game plan against Caitlin, and I know you said that she kind of patterns her game after Steph, but it sounded like you were giving out a game plan for how to defend Steph. I mean, how similar are those two on the court? And we know Steph, I mean, he's one of the greatest players of all time. Caitlin, just in her second year in the WNBA, already seems to be one of the league's, I mean, the league's biggest star, one of the league's best players. Just how similar of a challenge are they on the court?
Yeah, very similar. The threat of them shooting is always kind of in the back of your brain. And so any little kind of head fake, hezzy they give you, you kind of tend to bite at that. And so you're a little bit antsy when you're guarding them because you don't want them to shoot. And so you feel that. And that's why you see Steph, you know, a lot of times not even really have to do any moves to get by his man, you know, even at 37, 38 years old, because the threat of him shooting is so, so powerful. And that's the same for her. But I think the thing that Steph has been okay with is going inside the three-point line and finishing. Like, he's perfectly okay at making and taking twos. if that's what they're giving him. I don't know if she's okay with that. I've seen, you know, she gets inside, she likes to pass a lot, which isn't a bad thing, but I think, you know, she's way more comfortable when she's outside the three-point line getting in the rhythm.
All right, Brandon, you've kind of changed this game for me tonight, because now that I know you're going to be in Caitlin's ear, I'm gonna be trying to be online, like reading your lips. Like, are you a PG?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Kind of a trash talker, or maybe not?
I just feel like it's the intensity of the moment. You know, just kind of whatever the game calls for. Like I said, I'm a passionate guy that loves sports and loves being a part of stuff. And to have my hometown, our home city team win and be a great player and a great team in the Fever, it would be pretty fun to be a part of.
All right, man. Well, have fun tonight, and we'll see you out here at the arena. And thank you so much for giving us a buzz.
Yes, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
All right,
nice
there
buzz.
It is. That's, yep, Brandon Pajemski, Valkyries super fan, and now we also know lead stands trash talker.
I love your last question, and his answer was, you know, how aggressive is your trash talk? Well,
I don't know.
Meet the moment. If it's a big deal, he's going to be letting the expletives fly.
Yeah,
Willard.
He did not back off of that, did he? He's like, yeah.
That means you know that he's done that before.
Yeah, like
sitting courtside.
If it's tied with 10 seconds to go, then it is Caitlin effing Clark, all right? That's who it is out there on that floor.
Oh, man. It's also great the way that he talked about defending Caitlin. I mean, if you just closed your eyes, you didn't know the context, it sounds like he's talking about Steph.
And he didn't run from that comparison either. He's like, absolutely. That's exactly, like, you have to guard him the same way. And it was interesting that he, in a very subtle way, I think backed a lot of what people are talking about in the WNBA when you're watching Caitlin Clark, and that you, like, he would suggest being physical with her. And he actually liked the way that the son the other night were defending her. Now, I think it's, I mean, we're on a very slippery slope.
They crossed a line, well, but there was physicality that whole game.
Yes, and if you're talking about defending her during the basketball game, there's no issue with that. If you're then spilling over to using your shoulder to knock her to the floor after the whistle, we're having a different conversation. But this is why this is kind of so difficult to police. Like, there's no issue with physical play, but then when you see stuff and it's a little bit after the whistle or whatever, you immediately need to sort of assess whether or not that's happening simply because of the emotions of the game, just like what we see Draymond Green do all the time, or if it's targeted. If it's targeted and it's based on social issues that are happening round the clock.
Well, I mean, okay, how would you say it about Steph and the way that he gets defended? And when you got upset about the way the Raptors threw him to the ground and injured his tailbone, that's targeted specifically towards Steph, but it's not like malicious.
No, and I do think that it's evolved through the years. Like you even sort of mentioned earlier that a lot of this now, the way teams defend Steph, the physicality they use, I think has actually been coached into them by the officials around the league.
This guy's so good, we have to be able to stop him somehow, and if the officials are going to let us handshake him all day.
If they're going to let us, then we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's no different than any kid or anyone. If you're going to let them do it, they're going to do it. And so, but I don't think that's where it started. I do think there used to be a lot of jealousy about Steph Curry. He was the smallest player on the floor, yet the most popular. And I watched a ton of athletes. LeBron went through this. Russell Westbrook went through this, where they tried to find ways almost to kind of denigrate or brush off what Steph does as like, oh, it's cute and it works because it's within the rules, but they don't even ask him to really be a point guard. And man, if he were to come inside, I'm going to block that shot. But the respect has grown through the years because of what he's achieved and all of the things he's disproven. He is a finisher around the rim. He is tough as nails. He does take that lesser stature physically and still become the biggest player on the floor.
There was, and I always think of LeBron in this instance, there's like been multiple shifts, I think, in the way that like LeBron outwardly perceives Steph. I always think back to when Steph burst onto the scene at Davidson. I forget which round of the NCAA tournament it was. I don't think it was the first round. Steph kind of became a name, and LeBron went out of his way to attend one of those Davidson games. It might have been the Sweet 16 where they won to go on to the Elite Eight. I forget exactly which game it was, but Steph had like 40, and he went off. And the TV broadcast cuts to LeBron, a young LeBron, but LeBron, who had already become a star in the NBA, and he's like mind blown watching this young scrawny kid from Davidson College go crazy. And then that's kind of how like Steph came into the league as like this, that guy who LeBron didn't feel any sort of competition with. And then Steph goes to the finals versus LeBron and beats him, and like the way LeBron would talk about Steph shifted.
Wasn't funny anymore.
Entirely.
Right.
Oh, this is my competition now.
It wasn't light and fun anymore.
I can't like give this guy these compliments.
But then if you notice, it's circled back in the last few years.
Because he has earned the respect.
Yes.
Like, all right, you are one of us. You're one of the greatest ever.
And they're both past 35 and their legacies are secure.
Yeah. So it's shifted multiple times. 100%. And it's that case for like all the veterans that were in the league before Steph. Yeah. At least the majority of them.
Which is why, and like circling back to Caitlin on this, like I do think that it will go that way. Now, I don't know if it all has the same sort of massive value, right? Like if Caitlin wins a championship, you know, do we now look at her against a completely different lens the same way we do when an NBA player wins a championship? I don't know. I don't know if it plays that way. I just think there's a longevity to it. Caitlin's game will sustain. She will continue to be the most popular player in the league. And over time, as that sustains, as that helps their new collective bargaining agreement, as that maybe wins rings or whatever, as she becomes one of the greats of the game all time, I do think then you've got younger players coming up. She'll be an influence to them. The whole way that the world looks at Caitlin will be different, and there will be a newfound respect for her. Doesn't mean people won't shove her around. She's still going to be one of the smaller players on the court, but it won't feel like it's so targeted people are searching for it.
I guarantee you right now in the Valkyries locker room or wherever they are, if they're on the court, we can't see the court from where we are, wherever they are at this moment, Natalie Nicasse, head coach of the Valkyries, I'm sure there's a very similar message from her and from the coaching staff to the Valkyries team, at least the ones that are going to be set with or tasked with defending Caitlin Clark, very similar to what Pajemski just told us. Be physical, grab her, bump her, shove her. If you can get away with it, do it. Like, that's just how you defend someone like that.
And don't forget, cuss her out.
We'll leave that
but
to Pods.
Pods will take care of that.
He'll lead the charge on that one.
Cuss her out. Cuss her out. Yeah, we could start that chant tonight. Maybe Pods will do it. Kendra Andrews is out there on the floor. She just tweeted out a short time ago, quick video of Caitlin Clark letting fly from Steph range.
Oh.
All net. Yeah, just warm-ups, but she's out there, and I'm talking a good solid 7-8 feet beyond the three-point arc. Drano, no rim, as Caitlin warms up for tonight's Valkyries Fever game.
She's so good.
It's different.
She's behind the hash mark.
Yes. That's Steph range.
Oh, my God.
That's out there in Steph range. Yeah, man. It's different. And so that's what's coming up here tonight here on the Chase Center floor.
Also, apparently, according to Kendra, that she was quote-tweeting one of her other tweets from earlier, and this comes straight from Kendra Andrews of ESPN, quote, Caitlin Clark yelled out Curry as she launched her last three-pointer at shoot-around, swished through the net.
I like that.
That's,
I think Pods mentioned something that to me now comes true. He's like, I'm sure for Caitlin, this is not just another game. This is, you know, I know for all of us, it's like, ooh, it's her first trip here. It's kind of that for her, too. Like, I'm going to go to Steph's building tonight. I've patterned my game after him. Tonight, I get to play on his
floor.
Think
of all the threes he's made on those rims.
Pretty cool, man. Yeah.
Now, back to Will and Bibby on 95.7 The Game.
With us, we are live, Chase Center, getting ready for Valkyries and Fever. Caitlin Clark is in town. We've got a lot still to get to. Mark Grandy has a wild opinion. There's a wild opinion. You do.
It's wild?
You do. I find it wild.
All right.
I find it wild. We will get to that. The Giants are winners today, even though they, again, scored only two runs. There's some things that we need to get to there. But right out the gate, we're going to do this, okay? Want to win a pair of tickets to see My Chemical Romance on July 19th at Oracle Park. We are giving you that chance. Right now. And we'll do it again tomorrow, by the way. But right now is going to be winner number 4 of 5. And one of the 5 winners this week will also be upgraded to 2 suite tickets, all courtesy of Live Nation. What do you need to do right now? Just be caller 5. That's it. Here's the contest line. 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. Caller 5 right now to that contest line is the winner of a pair of tickets to see My Chemical Romance with a chance, 1 in 5 chance, to be upgraded to suite tickets. Good luck to each and every one of you. Remember, we'll do another pair tomorrow. And for more info and to buy My Chemical Romance suite tickets, log on to sfgiants.com/concerts. All right. We're a series in. We've been talking about Rafi Devers all week long. What are your first impressions?
Of Rafi specifically?
Just Rafi. The whole experience. Rafi, 3 hits in 3 games, okay, but like Giants baseball with their new look, even though it looked kind of the same.
I was hoping it would be more than 2 runs a game and at least a series win. So I guess the quickest way that I can say it, Willard, is this has nothing that has partly to do with it. It's not solely Rafi. First series, I was disappointed. Because I thought that they could have won this series. They should have won this series. They should have hit the ball a little bit better. Again, that's not Rafi's fault. He was one of their better hitters in the series. He had three hits. When you consider what some of the other numbers were, that looks pretty darn good. So this is not a Rafi's not good enough, and I'm going to overreact to three games. No, this is not that. This is, I think they missed an opportunity to win a series and to win another baseball game, and I hope that the offense picks it up a little bit. The way I always attack these conversations, though, Willard, and it's a convo that you and Dibs have had in the past. It's like the danger of having expectations, because you start getting expectations, yep. Then you lose a series, you score only two runs in three straight games. You're like, what the hell? You finally got me expecting something more, and then this happens? So with expectations comes pressure, and with pressure, when you fail to live up to those expectations, you tend to be disappointed, and it's partly why, like, now if the Giants were to struggle the rest of the year and miss the playoffs, that's like 10 times worse than if they didn't acquire Rafi Devers and miss the playoffs, because you suddenly became a lot better baseball team. You gave everybody hope and expectations,
yeah.
And then if you happen to miss out. So this is that in a very, very, very small time frame, because it's only one series. But I'm a little disappointed they lost this series.
Well, I hear you from the standpoint of what you're saying. I'm not going to use the word disappointed in the series, because I from a sense of, like, it's a home series. You should win two out of three. But I think that the Giants, even though they only scored two runs a game, to me, the fan experience with Rafi Devers on the team was completely different. From watching sort of the way this unfolded on Tuesday when he gets introed and the whole team is there, to the feeling that you get just watching the lineup go through. Again, I know they did not produce with runners in scoring position in this series at all. The Wilmer hit today was only the second one in the whole series with runners in scoring position, and luckily it brought home two, and they won a baseball game. Yeah,
2 for 26 runners in scoring position.
And so that'll bite you. But the bottom line for me is we've been begging for a middle of the order, and they have a middle of the order, and it looked and felt like a middle of the order, even though there wasn't always the production to back it up in this very small sample. Here's the part of what you just said that I'll agree with. And I was on my morning run today, and so as I'm always doing, I'm listening to Spadoni and Shasky.
On the Odyssey app.
With the earbuds, and then I finished the run, and I got in the car, and I turned them on, and Spadoni made me want to go for another run.
Uh-oh.
I almost had to go for another run, because I'm driving home, and he says something along the lines of, basically, because the Giants have acquired Rafi Devers, if they do nothing the rest of the season, that's okay. This is already a win.
And do nothing as in?
As in lose the rest of your games.
Oh.
But you've acquired Rafi Devers. In
no,
other
that
words,
makes it worse.
The season is a success because you've acquired Rafi Devers. Look, from a marketing standpoint, maybe you're right. From an excitement standpoint, maybe at least in this moment, you're right. But to me, like, you're not really, you're just not really that in to Giants baseball if that's how you feel about this. And I say that coming to you as a person who I think is pretty damn patient on the whole, like, we demand playoffs. You'll never hear me say Super Bowl or bust.
You're maybe the most patient, specifically Giants fan, I think I've ever met.
But I'm telling you, man, like, no, you have, look, if there are injuries and that's the reason and it all falls apart, okay, we're having a different conversation. But the bottom line is, you've set the table already. You're there. You're in playoff position right now. You're closing in on the halfway point, and you are clearly one of the best rosters in the National League. This team has got to go to the playoffs. They've got to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, if they don't, it's a failure.
They have got to go to the playoffs.
Pretty big, like, proportions. Like, and that's what the Devers acquisition does. It ramps up the pressure and the expectations because, as you said, suddenly your roster, your lineup becomes a whole lot better. And it was what John Smoltz, Hall of Fame pitcher, told Stanny and Evan yesterday. That trade just legitimizes the Giants. And if you are legitimately looked at as a team that could make the postseason and you fail to make the postseason, the tone shifts incredibly. Like, the Giants the last couple of years frustrated me from a position of, I am not expecting a lot. And I want to expect a lot.
Right.
But you missing the playoffs and you being a 500 baseball team, honestly, considering the talent that you had, almost felt like an overachievement.
Oh, yep.
And I'm sick of 500 baseball feeling like an overachievement. So I want to come from it, even though I know this is the path to getting hurt emotionally. I want to come from it from a spot where I have expectations.
Swagger. You want swagger.
And 500 would piss me off. And that's where I'm at now this year. And it's where I think I'll be at next year and 2 years from now, because the Giants have given me that hope. So on one side, yes, them going out and, you know, signing Adames and acquiring Rafi now is that's unequivocally a good thing. Like, no doubt. But it also brings with it the added...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Pressure of having to live up to that. And also, oh, by the way, if you were to, say, go 500 with this payroll versus going 500 with a much lesser payroll, then it wouldn't be too long. You won't have that many more years of that before ownership says, hey, we got to cut this back. We can't keep doing this anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, hang on. I'm doing a little math here. So they've played 75 games, right? 162.
Yeah, 42 and 33.
All right, 87 games left. So, you know, when you said play 500, I know you were talking about in the end.
Yeah.
Right, in the end of the season.
Nine games over right now.
If they were play 500 baseball just the rest of the way. Just the rest of the way, they would win 86 baseball games. I don't know if that's quite enough to get in. It may not be, but it's pretty damn close. It's pretty damn close, I think, to what would get you in. So that, I think is another snapshot of why I feel like they have absolutely got to make the playoffs. You acquire Rafi Devers, and now you're a completely different roster. Matt Chapman will return soon, and then you're again getting another roster boost, and who knows if they'll do something at the deadline.
They very well could.
In order to miss the playoffs this year, you will pretty much need to play sub-500 baseball the rest of the way. That flat out should not happen.
Third NL wildcard team is pacing right now just above an 86 win pace.
There
so
it
is. Exactly what you're
it's
talking about. 500 the rest of the way, and you have a puncher's chance probably to be the last playoff team.
And if you just play three or four games over 500, you're in.
And, oh, by the way, it doesn't seem that egregious to say I would expect the Giants to be better the rest of the year than they've been so far.
Not
this
at
year.
All, yeah.
You could have more injuries in the second half. They've been largely pretty healthy. Verlander just came back. Chapman's missed the last week plus now, and he's going to miss maybe another couple of weeks. That's really been the only major injuries you've had to deal with, and there's definitely a world where you deal with more injuries to key guys in the second half, but you got Devers now. You're a better baseball team now.
Asking too much for this team to go 48-39 the rest of the way. Is that asking
That's
too much?
48-39. That gets you to 90 wins.
90 wins.
That's absolutely a wild
That's
card
That's 9 games over 500 the rest of the way. They are 9 games over 500 right now.
Like I don't think that's too much.
No.
But this pitching staff, no.
No. So it should happen. Now, the only thing about the pitching staff, it caught my attention. You said it to us. It got bounced around at the station a little bit yesterday. Pavlovich comes on the show with us yesterday. He says it. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, hold on. You've got pitchers that are, quote, approaching innings limits. In other words, young pitchers who've never gone deep into a season and done 150 and 200 innings and all of these things. Landon Roop, Hayden Birdsong. I am so itching to talk to Bob Melvin to ask the question about what's your plan here in the second half of the year? I don't want to get so far ahead where I'm like, who's the game three starter? But, like, forget who's the game three starter. Just who are your starters? I know Logan Webb can do this. I know Robbie Ray can do this. In theory, at age 43, Justin Verlander can do this. But he's been mediocre so far this year. You don't want to rely too much there. But what's the plan after that with regard to Landon Roop and Hayden Birdsong? And if you're burning them out at too quick of a pace right now, I would argue right about now is the time where you need to start coming up with a new plan so that this doesn't happen. Because the pitching and defense thing and it working in the playoffs kind of blows up if half the pitching is not there anymore when you arrive.
Yeah, you don't need all five starters in the playoffs, but you definitely need four. You need three that you feel pretty darn good about. You feel great about Webb. You feel as good as you can about Ray, despite the fact that his last start was not good. I think yesterday reacting to what Verlander did was so overblown. He didn't have a great game, but I thought he was fine.
Largely gave up a three-run homer.
Largely what his season has been he's pitched pretty good and gets zero run support. His ERA is nearly 4.5. It's not the greatest, but I have faith that Verlander, especially with this month off, that he's going to be able to just make his spot in the rotation every fifth go. I'm also huge on Hayden Birdsong, but you get to a spot where you're pitching past the innings that you've ever pitched in a single season in your career, then that's uncharted territory. But every pitcher goes through that at some point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. To me, if you or the Giants are so incredibly worried about what Birdsong is going to look like in August and September and, hell, maybe even in October, then I don't know, just come out and say you don't believe in the kid. Like,
well, or don't burn him out. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, he's pitched only 48 innings so far this year.
Understood.
He was out of the bullpen to begin the year.
I have no idea what they think his innings limit is. I have no idea what Landon Roop's is, but I'd start planning for it now. I think teams usually in this situation, they just start playing baseball, and they're like, look, we'll worry about that problem when it comes. Well, I'd argue it's here. Like, the actual halfway point of the season comes next Wednesday in terms of the number of games that are played.
Yeah.
You will be at the halfway point next Wednesday with the Miami Marlins in town. Okay. Now you can see where you're at. And if you've got a record that looks as sparkly as the Giants does right now, you better start planning for the postseason. You can't just burn through your guys and then not have anybody ready. The other way to play this, too, you know, whether it's spot starts, giving guys a little bit extra rest, six-man rotation, maybe you do go out at the deadline and just acquire a little depth. I'm not talking about anything sexy, but acquire a little bit of depth because, my God, again, you'd hate to get there and then suddenly all that work to get to the end and then not have the horses you need.
Well, it kind of puts the Dodgers into perspective and why, I mean, so many of us, and it's so difficult to rein in your emotions when you're a Giants fan and you finally get the treat of having like a top 10 hitter in your lineup and they go out and acquire Devers and everyone's mind just goes to, hey, Dodgers, like, look out in your rearview mirror. We're right behind you and we got Rafi now. Like, we're on your heels. The Dodgers are in a situation where, and there's no guarantee that everybody's going to get healthy, but the Dodgers are in a spot where their staff gets healthy and they have no innings. No, they have no guys that have thrown many innings other than Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And you get Snell back, and you get Glass now back, and now Ohtani's working his way back. They get to August and September, and everyone feels fresh as hell because they've been on the IL all year. They kind of have the opposite of what the Giants might be going through. And it just puts into perspective how good the Dodgers are because they have done that with the issue the Giants maybe are fearful of in a couple of months. They've done that, and their issue's been that case the first half of the year, and they're still 10-plus games over 500 and leading the division.
I wonder how Bomo would answer that question. Like, what is the thought process? You're just running Landon Roop out there every 5 days, seemingly with the knowledge that if you were to keep doing that for the rest of the year, he may not be available come the finish. I don't know that that's the case, but I know that, you know, a lot of people have brought this up in the last 48 hours, and when Pavlovich did it with us yesterday, that's not just a voice in the crowd. That is a longtime beat writer who talks to this team on the daily basis and said, you've got guys that are going to reach their innings limit. That's coming.
The other thing that Pav said was before they traded Kyle Harrison, one, there was no guarantee that Harrison would have been the guy going back to the bullpen, which is interesting. Maybe it would have been somebody else, not sure who. But he also said they had conversations about a six-man rotation.
Yep.
And maybe the six-man rotation with Harrison or whoever it is, that would alleviate some of those concerns. Because instead of pitching every fifth game, you're pitching every sixth game. And by the time September comes around, that makes a difference in the number of innings each arm has eaten.
For sure. For sure. But there's also a reason you don't do that where, like, does it get guys out of their rhythm? Baseball players, all athletes, very, very much creatures of habit. And starting pitchers have a structure where it's like every fifth day you're starting. And then, right, you have your long toss and you have whatever. You have your bullpen sessions. That's all set up. I don't know what the hesitation is. Right now the hesitation would be they don't have a sixth guy. But you may need to get one. I don't want to rely on them calling guys up from the minors come September
making
and October
important starts,
and making important starts. So that's all I'm saying. At this hour, we're getting close to when Bob needs to be asked that question, and I am very curious to hear what his answer is going to be.
Landon Roop, in his professional career, so minors and majors, the most innings he's thrown in a single season, 2022, split between A, high A, and double A, threw 107 innings. He's at 70 so far this year with the big league club.
And in theory, he should be able to go over that.
You would think
like
so,
he
yeah.
won the job out of spring training, and now you're going to be a big league pitcher, but how far over that can you go?
You know what I mean? He's on pace to, 150 innings.
And they have that answer. They have that answer. I don't know what it is.
Meanwhile, Birdsong's most innings in a single professional season is 2023, split between three different levels as well, 100.2 or 101 innings, essentially.
So he's already halfway there as well.
And that became a concern for him last year, if you remember. He threw 72 innings with the big league club, plus another 48 at AAA or AA and 9 at AAA. So he was up over that, and there was a definite dip in his performance at the tail end of last year when he was setting career highs for innings pitched in a year.
Yep.
And the same thing was true for Harrison, although I know Harrison was kind of just injured the whole season. But his end of the year wasn't as good either. So, I mean, there's probably some truth to that concern. I'm less concerned about Birdsong because he's only thrown 48 so far this year because they brought him out of the pen to begin the year.
Yep.
Roop won the starting job, and Harrison wasn't even with the big league club to begin the season. But, yeah, I don't know. It seems almost reactionary to think that the position of incredible strength could, after one trade and just the continuation of the season, become a place of concern. But, I mean, teams are always worried about who's going to pitch innings for them.
For sure. For sure. No, nobody's got enough.
It seems pretty quick to go from this is one of the best staffs in baseball to, oh, my God, how are we going to survive September?
Well, how are you going to survive September? You know what I mean? Like, the other side to it is, and I don't think that the Giants approached it this way. I always kind of laugh when people are like, ooh, they made the playoffs, but they weren't planning on making the playoffs. No, I mean, I get where you're coming from, but there's no doubt in the position the Giants were in that they thought, hey, a wild card round is absolutely a possibility this year. And that's still probably where I would project them. The difference is they may be one of the home teams in the wild card round. They may swagger in a little bit. They may be the favorite kind of a thing. So you're going to have to be ready for that. But it is fascinating. The Giants make one of the largest trades in the history of their organization, and it feels like for some fans it took 48 hours before they're like, all right, now we need another trade. now's here what we need to do with the deadline. I'm like, all I ever heard all season long was, we need a bat, and my God, did they get one. And now, poof, you're going to turn around and say, you know, we need to do more. We need to do more. We're still only scoring two runs a game. Now we need to add starting pitching. I think the sample size is way too small.
Yes.
I still feel like the lineup looks and feels completely different as I watch it. And Oracle Park will be Oracle Park, and nobody scored five runs in a game in any of the three games. And where have I seen that before? That's the ballpark I know and love.
Should have bet the unders in every single game.
All of them.
Opportunity.
All of them.
Yeah. Also, Chapman isn't even back yet, and he gets back, the lineup is gonna, assuming that he's swinging the bat the way that he was before he got hurt, it's gonna look entirely different. I don't know, this, I am not that worried about the pitching staff, and maybe that is foolish considering you're relying on guys that haven't done it before over the course of an entire season. But if we are that worried, maybe we go back to a little bit of Farhan ball.
We go
to a six-man rotation, but instead of a six-starter, you just throw an opener, and you have Jelly pitch four innings after an opener, and you have a bullpen game.
I just see that now.
But then
now
you run into an issue where you're taxing the bullpen.
You're taxing your bullpen.
Well, you got to balance a little bit.
Right. You absolutely do. But, you know, we're having this conversation without knowing what the innings limit is for Roop and Birdsong. Believe me, these guys, this team, this training staff, they sat down before the season started, and they have a number. They do it before every start.
Landon, we want you to get to this number of innings this year. That's what we're comfortable
absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. So how do you navigate that in the second half of the season as you start to get close to that whole thing? Fair question. We'll ask it to Bo Mel. I do think we'll probably get him on next week.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up.
Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.